Welcome to the Autonicast. I'm Ed Niedermeyer, as always, alongside my co-hosts, Alex Roy and Kirsten Korosek. Welcome to a very special bonus episode of the Autonicast. Normally, we tend to invite movers and shakers in the autonomous and mobility technology space, the auto industry. Well, you know, if you listen to the show. But we met two young men on our recent trip to Israel who don't really fit into that category, but we thought that they were so perceptive and insightful and frankly just amazingly well-versed on the whole subject of cars, mobility, autonomous drive, that we couldn't help but record an episode with them. Their names are Rafi and Avi. Their last names are withheld. They are family of friends of the show. And they are twins who are 13 years old. I want you to remember that while you listen to this episode, because you're going to have a hard time believing it. But we were there. We've met them. These kids really are 13 years old. So with that, I would like to welcome to the Autonicast, Avi and Rafi.
Hello and welcome to the Autonicast. As always, I'm Alex Roy here with the brilliant and insightful and balanced Kirsten Korosek. Hi,
hello.
Kirsten.
Hello.
And Ed Niedermeyer.
I'm really loving these introductions, Alex. It's so great to start off every episode with that ego boost.
Let's skip to our two special guests today who have unusual knowledge and insight about the automotive sector, not just today, but in the future. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Avi. I live in Israel, and I'm more of the car guy of people.
That was obvious within minutes of meeting you. And
I'm Rafi. I'm 13 years old, and I'm looking more into the future of the mobility and what we're going to have.
Now, these two are actually pretty modest because not only are they twin brothers, but they've grown up in a tech family and have unusual levels of knowledge for anyone of almost any age. It's really quite shocking.
They might be closing deals as we speak. We're not really sure.
And so on this very special episode of the Autonicast, we're going to discuss the future of transportation, mobility, and the automotive sector with these two young men who, is there any question that these guys actually know more off the top of their heads than most of our guests?
I'd say between the two of them, they probably have a more balanced perspective on both the auto industry and the future of mobility technology than a lot of our guests.
Now let's jump right in. We know several people who should remain nameless who have claimed that their kids, who are about your age, will never need driver's licenses.
I say that's totally wrong because, A, if I'm 13 and that's about 3 years until I'm 16 and I can get my driver's license, and in 3 years, I don't see it even remotely possible that the entire world can go without a single driver. Yes, there's Uber, Tesla, Chevy with all of the self-driving cars and stuff, but it'd still take a lot more testing, a lot more people working on it, and the trust of humans. And I don't think that, like recently with the Uber accident, I feel like people don't trust them enough right now. I think it'll take at least another 10 years until you won't really need a driver's license.
Of course you're going to say that because you're a car guy. What do you
think? So I think at this time, someone who is born in 2018 will not need a driver's license. But people born, I would say anywhere, like anyone my age will need a driver's license because autonomous vehicles will not be on the road or mainstream in the next 4 or 5 years.
Do you look forward to autonomous vehicles arriving and becoming ubiquitous?
I do.
What do you think?
I really don't, because I'm not only saying this as a car guy, but I'm sure only car guys can relate to this, but there's a joy in driving a car. Like if it's a manual transmission banging through the gears on a twisty mountain road, or even if it's an automatic going stupid fast around a racetrack, it's a lot of fun to be able to drive around and have...
But you've never actually driven a car yourself.
Maybe I can't. I can't tell you that.
So are you? So have you ever driven a car?
I've turned the steering wheel when I was moving at Motion in a car.
Have you played any racing video games or driving video games?
Just on my phone, really.
So this is interesting. So you've never driven a car, but you've seen car movies and TV shows and read the magazines.
Yes.
And so you believe that there is something that you want to do.
Yes.
And you want the choice to be able to do it.
Yeah.
What about the people who out there, kids like yourself, who want to do the same thing, who might kill someone in a car accident?
Well, there should be, when you learn to drive, there shouldn't be just one standard driver's license. You should have to go through, I think that the way you get a driver's license today, even if I really want to get it more quickly, I still understand that it's very dangerous to put a smaller person into a car, by age, of course, because teenagers not to be like mean or anything, but we don't have the greatest judgment of people.
I want a perspective. Do you think though that autonomous vehicles and human driven vehicles can coexist together, or does it need to be one or the other?
Well, I think that they can, for the first few years when it's not mainstream and people have, like, yes, the people that are very techie love them and go in, but the people who aren't, who still want to drive and still, like, don't trust autonomous cars, for that point, I think it'll be fine because the systems will be calibrated programmed to deal with this. But I think in the future, like maybe 20 years after everyone starts driving, besides for the car enthusiasts, of course, but after everyone starts driving mainstream into the autonomous cars, riding in them, then I think they'll all be autonomous by government.
That's a cultural answer. What does your brother think?
I think that it's not going to come in one setting hit. Not everyone's going to just go and sell their vehicles. I think it's going to be a process, and maybe 40 or 50 years into the future, we will not see autonomous vehicles and human-driven vehicles driven together on the same road. But until then, I think we will.
But do you think that human driving should actually be banned?
In 99% of places, I do.
Really? And you think human driving should not be banned?
Yeah.
Do you think that they could actually pass a law and people would respect it? Or that they're actually the vehicles will all have, say, a transponder and will just be disabled, the steering wheel will just be disabled and you cross a geofence?
With autonomous vehicles, I think we're going to see many different types, and obviously not every type of autonomous vehicle will have a steering wheel, even if, like, you imagine some will. And I don't believe that the technology is there for autonomous vehicles and human driven vehicles to be on the road together. So that's why I think it would be more dangerous.
So okay. you would vote to ban human driving here where you live?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So this Whoa. Is, yeah, Alex needs to cool off for a second here. So let's talk about, okay. So you're not that far off from being old enough to have your driver's licenses. Let's imagine 3 years, 4 years from now, when you are able to have your driver's license, that autonomous mobility is an option, right? That there's a service here where you live, where you can ride an autonomous vehicle, and it would just be provided by one of the sort of major companies that's providing that. So, given a choice, would you rather have your own car, and if so, what kind? Or would you rather ride an autonomous vehicle, and if so, what kind and by what company?
So I would rather drive, being the car enthusiast.
Yeah, not surprising.
And if I had to drive, it depends where I would live. Like, if I had to live here, I probably wouldn't want my dream truck, which is the Hennessy Velociraptor 6x6, which is giant, and it wouldn't fit anywhere in this town. But I think if I lived somewhere in, like, nowhere in the U.S., I feel like that would be a great car to have, or truck.
Would you feel that way if everyone else had one, too?
Well, I need to upgrade it, of course, but then yeah.
All right, how about you, Rafi? Would you rather drive or ride? And if so, what would you drive or what would you ride?
In most to all occurrences, I would rather be driven. I would like more of a luxury vehicle, since you're not controlling it. You don't care how fast it can go 0 to 60 or 0 to 100 in 24 miles an hour. It's more about the comfort then.
Okay. So do you have
Do you have like a particular brand in mind? Whose luxury car would you like to ride in?
Sure, I'll take the Rolls-Royce Phantom long wheelbase.
An autonomous version of the Rolls-Royce.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's get it. Hang on a minute. Okay.
Alex is sweating over here. He still can't get over the Human Driving Association.
Well, I mean, let's be serious, okay? It seems to me that if you've got a company like Uber, Lyft, you have a couple of companies doing transportation network companies, and they're all in the same market, and they need to get people into the vehicles. They're going to have to discount the self-driving cars to get people into them in the first place, because people may not trust them, as you pointed out. So it's going to be really cheaper, maybe even free in the beginning to get into a self-driving cab service. Oh, I see. We'll get to you in a minute. So here's my question. If a self-driving taxi service was cheaper, if not free, and driving your own car was something that was more expensive, what would you do?
I would drive and take the bullet.
You would spend the money?
Yeah.
Even if you had to make another sacrifice in your life?
Depends what it is, but...
Like your fancy Chucks.
Huh?
Your shoes.
Oh.
Oh, no, you're not wearing Chucks either. All right. So you'd pay money to drive. How about you?
So I think you're forgetting about, in New York City, how many people go underground every day, that if you made autonomous vehicles free, it would just be overpopulated.
Okay, here's a different way of thinking about it, maybe. Would you ride an autonomous car for very cheap if it were shared, or would you pay more money to have your own autonomous car?
Take the shared version, because then I could save money and buy myself a car.
That is really interesting insight. Rafi?
So I think that in different occurrences, there'll be different answers to that, because if you're running late and you need to get somewhere, most likely taking a shared vehicle will take more time, when taking your own private vehicle will be more quiet and faster.
So you would like to maybe subscribe to a service where you could have the option of a private vehicle?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So, you know, you said that you take the luxury one, like the Rolls, but, you know, if you opened an app and, you know, you have at the bottom, you have the shared bad car, and at the other end, you've got S-Class, BMW 7, all the way up to a Rolls. Would you actually spend extra money to get into the Rolls?
No. Most in 99.9% of the occurrences, I would not.
So what would you base your choice on? The speed of the trip?
Who's coming with me?
That's a good answer. I mean, I'll tell you, if it was me, I always want the car that will arrive the soonest and drop me off the soonest. I don't care if it's junk. And I find it hard to believe people would pay for luxury for most trips.
Then why would some people wait a day to fly in business class versus being in a middle seat in economy?
Most people don't fly every day, but most people do have to transport themselves to work every day.
True.
This is a good debate.
Yeah, actually, I have a couple of questions. You made a point earlier about when you were correcting Alex. And you pointed out that subways exist, and that if everyone started riding in autonomous vehicles and no one was riding the subway anymore, there'd be a lot of congestion. So what do you think is going to happen to, if everyone were to adopt autonomous vehicles, what do you think is going to happen to buses and subways? Are they going to just turn into new forms or different forms of transportation, or are we going to, or is the New York subway going to cease to exist, you know, 50-100 years from now?
Well, I think you're going to have to pay a premium to be overground as you do today. I mean, you would pay to get across town. You pay more to get into a yellow taxi than you would on a New York City bus subway line.
Okay, interesting. So what are your biggest hopes and fears related to cars or also mobility? So you can both go.
Will
so
you hear from someone who actually cares about cars first, please?
Okay. Well, yeah.
I'm not friends with Alex anymore.
In the future. I mean, not just, you know, obviously not present day, but in the future. What's your biggest fear and what's your biggest hope?
My hope is that even if all cars will be autonomous, is that there'll still be an option to drive your own car, but you can't crash your car. So you don't have to drive it, but if you go in, if you're trying to go into a barrier or jump off of a cliff, you won't be able to do that, and the car will take over.
Have you been reading my articles?
Yeah.
Yes.
It sounds like Toyota's Guardian.
And I'm thrilled to hear that, Rafi.
So I would be afraid of never being able to get behind of the wheel because it seems like something fun to do once in a while, not even on a racetrack, but to just go for a drive would be something enjoyable.
So, see, you're not that different from Alex after all,
mm-hmm.
and your brother.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think everybody deep down wants to drive sometimes, or do you think there's some people who just never want to drive ever?
You're looking at him himself.
When you refer to him, we're talking about a good friend who knows a lot about the sector.
Yes,
let's not talk about him. Yes. It's just in the room, but we don't like
him. Someone in the room who never drives, who's basically forgotten how to drive, who would be glad never to get behind of a wheel ever again.
All right, so I'm going to ask you now a very sensitive question. It's not political, but it is an important one, okay? Everyone who lives here has got to do military service. Right. Yes. It's part of just living here. If someone doesn't have a driver's license and someone's life depends on transporting their brother or their friend across town to a hospital or to the airport, and an autonomous vehicle doesn't show up and there's a car sitting on the corner, doesn't everyone need to know how to drive? And doesn't every vehicle have to have a steering wheel?
Well, I think about this a lot. And I think, like, what happens if your brother was a car enthusiast and he had, a stroke or something, but because he's a car enthusiast, his car was a manual? I think everyone should, A, know how to drive a manual. Also, it's cheaper if you go to Europe and some places. But also, it can save lives. And I do think everyone should know the basics of driving a car in the future.
So it's a moral position to know how to drive.
Yes.
And to have the choice to drive if necessary.
Yes. It's also safer to drive a manual because it's impossible to text while driving.
Rafi, do you think it's a moral obligation to one's family and to oneself to have a license and access to a car that you can drive?
So today and in my lifetime, yes. In my great-great-grandchildren's lifetimes, no.
So you might raise your kids without the sense of moral obligation that you have.
Well, I think they should learn how to drive until every single vehicle is without a steering wheel besides for on racetracks and so on. They should know how to drive in case of an emergency.
So can I ask you guys a question?
Please.
Sure.
In the future, do you think that the president will be transported in an autonomous vehicle or someone will still drive him? Because if it's in an autonomous vehicle, so a hacker can do more damage and just take the control of the president's car and do something with it and crash it and something bad could happen. But there's also the driver who could be a secret agent for another country who could do the same thing.
So first of all, like most of the time, our guests don't ask us questions.
And when they do, they're not smart questions.
And that has to be one of the best questions anybody has ever asked on this show. I love it. Alex, why don't you answer first? I feel like this is right up your bailiwick.
Okay, well, my serious answer is that you'd have to have two security personnel, like a nuclear missile silo, would have to be in the compartment which has controls, and like a missile launch, they would have to both, release the safeties simultaneously, turn the keys, and consent. And they'd have to be two men who never met before, who didn't know each other, and they would never work together again every time the president gets in that car. And they would also have to be teleoperation probably from two remote locations. And the teleoperation facilities would be like nuclear missile silo commanders with group consent. They're all bonded and trained, maybe from birth. I'm not joking.
Or even if from teleoperation, if they didn't know they were controlling the president's vehicle or someone of high stature, maybe they wouldn't even think about that, and you wouldn't need to have new people every single time.
Well, so it'd be like a blind study, basically.
Well, have you two read the book Ender's Game?
Yes, I actually just read that a few months ago.
Good job, Avi. Rafi?
I know it was due for one of our classes, but I'm not sure if I read it.
It's very important that you do as soon as possible. We can discuss that in the next bonus episode. Avi, you know why. You know why.
Yeah, because for people who've read Ender's Game, Ender, he would, or Andrew.
Well, don't give it away. That's what the joy of learning.
Well, so do we get to answer the question too? Or? Yeah, no, I mean, I love the question because it's very philosophical, right? And it kind of asks, the underlying question is, who do you trust more, technology or humans? And, you know, there are reasons to trust both and there are reasons to distrust both. And I think I'm going to go with an answer similar to Rafi's, which is that it depends on when you're talking about, right? Depends on what level the technology's at. I think the technology today, I think that I would prefer, even like, say, even if there was an autonomous, or let's say a year from now, you know, some company makes a breakthrough, but the underlying technology is still fundamentally the same, but the software has gotten really advanced. We're somehow able to have like a good enough autonomous system, or even in the short term future. I think that humans will be driving the president for quite a while. And I think that even when, if at some point the technology gets good enough, there may need to be something like a basic manual override that like physically disconnects the autonomous system so that a human can be there in an emergency, and drive, you know, take over control of that. And I'm not even talking about like a switch that you flip, but like literally a mechanical disconnect of the autonomous system, because you have to have, I think at the end of the day, right, you know, people trust people to protect them, right? And presidents trust their bodyguards to protect them. And so I think that that's got to be the last line of defense.
There is, however, a history of bodyguards in some countries betraying the leadership.
Well, yeah.
So you want to be really careful about who's got the control.
You obviously would have to vet any human like bodyguard or Secret Service agent. But I would also note that currently administrations all over the world trust aviation technology that they might not be able to, maybe they can physically override, but something might happen. There might be a mechanical error. There's always going to be that risk. To me, the interesting thing is going to be when that bridge moment, that transition, when technology within the vehicle becomes, progresses more, but we haven't quite gotten to all autonomy and we have president in, and if that is vulnerable. So sort of the cybersecurity aspect of it. And so I think you will have to have sort of human being behind. I think Ed made a good point with having the sort of manual control. I think I don't envision a time in the next 30 years in which a president will be shuttled around in an autonomous vehicle, though. Maybe in his own driveway.
I don't even think in his own driveway, because he could get a missile. Maybe it could be unidentified. A missile can come crashing on him if it gets hacked wrong place.
I think that it will be at the transition point, which I believe will happen at some point. It will be after 100% of man-operated vehicles are off of the road, and the technology has been proven to be much, much safer than any human driving it, who can have a heart attack during the driving and drive off of a cliff.
But the history of automation shows that the optimal balance between safety and efficiency is when there's a human on the loop monitoring a system who's highly trained with some kind of monitoring system. And I mean, would you get into a plane that had no human in the cockpit?
Me personally, yeah, I would.
Yeah, you would.
Would you?
No.
Ed?
No.
Kirsten?
No.
Human Flying
Association.
Human Flying Association. Hey, we should start it.
I think we should talk about these manufacturers.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so Soichiro Honda, pretty smart guy, founder of Honda, said that in the future there would be 6 car companies left and Morgan. Now, let's not talk about Morgan because we all know they're going to make it. Let's just talk about, we're going to go from 4, we have to go from 14 car companies down to 6. So, will FCA be one of them?
Can one of the companies inside of it, like Dodge or Jeep, disconnect from them?
Yes, they can be split up.
I think Dodge and Jeep, they will make it. Chrysler and Fiat, and Maserati to the garbage.
Okay. Rafi?
I think from what you're looking at this point, based on what they've done.
We're talking about FCA.
Right. What FCA has done in terms of automation and investing in companies that are doing that. And I don't think that they will make it. None of their underlying brands.
Mazel tov. Okay. Renault-Nissan Alliance. Avi?
No, they're not going to make it.
I love this.
Rafi?
I don't know.
Honda.
The Shredder's waiting for them.
Rafi?
I think I agree with Avi on that one because it's same thing. Maybe they are doing something that we don't know about, but at this point we don't see what they're doing in terms of automation.
The NSX, for example, it's dead on arrival. It's just nobody cares, right?
Well, you know, that same is a good car. When it came out, according to a lot of magazines, it was terrible. Yeah. But I think over the years since it came out,
we're talking about the new one.
Yeah, the new one. Over the years since it landed in the U.S., it's become a lot better to drive. Just like the i.
But you don't know how to drive a car.
Well, according to a lot of magazines
he reads.
Okay, let's move on.
He does his research.
BMW Group, Rafi. They've got Rolls-Royce, BMW, and Mini. Are they going to make it?
I have no comment.
Doesn't look good. Avi.
They're going to get bought by not a car company. I think they're going to get bought by Waymo or Uber because they have, of course, Rolls-Royce, but they also have a lot of brands that appeal to a lot of different people. So BMW, more of the car people guy or people who want to show off that they're not rich. Mini, a lot of people like them. And if Rolls-Royce, people who have too much money also love them.
Okay, well, what's that? Oh, Rafi's making a face. All right, Geely, they own Volvo.
It's pronounced Geely.
Whatever. London Taxi Company and Volvo and Geely. So, Rafi.
Don't they own Lotus?
Yeah, they bought Lotus.
They bought Lotus. God. So
nothing gets past this.
Wow, nothing gets these two. Rafi.
Well, based on the technology they're using now in their vehicles that are on the road now, it looks more promising than the other brands that we've been talking about before.
All right, we got a Geely believer.
Avi?
Yeah. They have, if they can put their technology, since they own the London Taxi Company, a taxi company, if they can make those self-driving, they're a taxi company. They've got Volvo who have the technology, and they have Lotus who, and that appeals to a certain group that they do want to drive, but they also don't want to have their car run out of battery, burst into flame because it's been sitting too long. And if you could just send your car around your block, right?
All right, let's keep going. The Volkswagen Group, Rafi, but with Audi, Skoda, Bugatti, Bentley, Porsche, Volkswagen, Lamborghini, they gonna make it?
Some of the car manufacturers in that group will, and others won't.
Who's going to make it? Lamborghini's going to make it, right?
Yeah, of course.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? You don't think Lamborghini's going to make even a low volume of manufacturing?
Maybe. For the racetrack, I think definitely they will continue to make cars, but for the road, in an autonomous vehicle, I don't. Obviously, VW must have something that they're doing because they can't afford.
Well, they have Porsche, which is
Which is obvious.
So you agree with your brother?
I think everyone is going to make it, and the reason why I believe that even a small company like Lamborghini is going to make it is because even if they were to just build Super Trofeo cars, they could still modify them easily for the street, like the Lamborghini Huracan and the Lamborghini Super Trofeo car. Yes, they're very different, but they also have the same body, same frame, same everything.
It seems to me like they'll just have common platforms. They'll go down to like three or four platforms for all the brands. What? And then
Volkswagen,
modular.
Everything is going to be, because after Dieselgate, I think Dieselgate was the greatest thing that happened to Volkswagen since the Beetle, because Because they were on the bottom. They had no electric, no self-driving, nothing. But now they've had to make all of their cars have one model that's electric. They've got very good self-driving technology. And I feel like all of that together, I believe that they can make it with that.
Okay. Rafi.
Great answer.
Hyundai Group. Kia, Hyundai. Yes or no? It's okay to have no opinion because I'll speak it for you.
Take it away.
They're not going to make it. No, I'm just saying that to get you. I'm just saying that to bait you.
Avi, what do you think?
They make really... They make a great car.
They make a stable, everyday car.
People have underestimated them before.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And I think they could get bought by another OEM. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. We happen to know at least a couple of startups that think very highly of the inner workings
I think that they're going to make it, but I also think that you're wrong because you forgot to include Genesis.
That's true. That's a brand of theirs.
I would say, by the way, just give you guidance as we get into the second half of the brands, that every car company in the world will be split between commoditized transportation brands that are going to fight based on production quality and scale. And then there will be brands that are going to be kind of transformational brands that are selling cars or selling services based on legacy. So Daimler, for example, would have to split between Mercedes, Maybach.
Daimler, whatever.
So,
dude, these kids are schooling you, Alex. Let's move on.
I would say these guys are fully commoditized, but also awesome at production. So I think they're probably going to survive. And you didn't take my bait. I'm very disappointed. Let's move on to GM.
General Motors, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick.
I think they're Super Cruise. Oh, no. Yeah, that is.
Yeah, Super
Chevy.
Cruise.
Super Cruise
is Cadillac.
Right, which is in that group, which could trickle down to all the other vehicles. Is showing technology that no other car manufacturer has today.
So what you're saying is that if they adopt, if they adopt Super Cruise and apply it throughout the rest of their portfolio, so beyond the one single model, then that'll help them.
Well, I
survive.
Think doesn't Chevrolet? I can't remember. Don't they have something? Cruise.
That's the Cruise division, which is different. All right, so GM has a lot of brands.
You forgot Opel also.
Opel. All right, so
Opel
was sold.
Opel is part of PSA now, Peugeot
but,
Citroën. Yeah.
How is the Regal in the U.S.? Because the Regal is essentially like the 308 with new tail lights and badging.
Yeah, so that's basically it's a legacy. So when they sell off they're produce them in Canada, actually, is what happens. So they were originally importing them from Germany. They were actually made by Opel. And so, of course, the underlying technology is GM technology.
Can we just have some clarity here, Rafi? General Motors, will they survive or will they get broken up?
I think they're going to survive as one group.
Oh, well, okay. Avi?
Chevy is the only one that's going to survive, but they're going to have the luxury division of Chevy, which will be all the Cadillac cars with his Chevy logo on it. But they're also going to have the other ones.
Interesting.
Isn't that just branding, though?
Yeah.
That is. Well, that's a very interesting answer.
You like the Cadillac brand? Why do you think a Chevy brand, like the bow tie, would be better on there than the Laurel Rees?
I love Cadillac. Well, I'll leave the CTS-V because that's epic. Who doesn't want that? But I feel the Cadillac logo, what's it called?
The Reef.
So, thank you. So I feel like the Reef, yes, it would look better on cars, but I feel like it's more mainstream to go to your Chevy dealership. If you want to go get a base car SUV or something, you go to you don't say, "Oh, I'm going to go to my Cadillac dealership." No, you usually say you're going to go to your Chevy dealership. And what do you say for I feel Corvette will
but Corvette Rafi, is part of Chevy, right? You gotta say something.
But you guys are maybe assuming that there's going to be dealerships? Maybe that's a different question for a different day.
Stores dealer.
Well, do you like to, if you were going to buy something that you can buy at a low price, medium price, and a high price, the qualities being different, you would obviously rather the high price, but you might not get that one because it doesn't justify it. But would you be more happy going into a Cadillac dealership to get a car, which is more fancy?
Are there going to be dealerships? Why do we need dealerships?
I don't think there's going to be dealerships.
There's going to be dealerships.
You're not going
to
own cars.
There's a joy in going to your dealership, starting it up for the first time.
What joy is there in going to a dealership?
Hang on.
To pick up your car, it's more special than just having it delivered in a box.
But you're saying that there's like ritual. There's actually like ritual. It's an event to go look at the cars and have the car given to you.
Like we had in India, right?
Maybe if it was delivered.
Mm-hmm. Like the Genesis's?
Like the Genesis.
Let's keep
going down this.
Yeah, we got a lot of companies.
We're almost
still.
Done here. Tata, they own Land Rover,
Jaguar,
Tata. Are they going to survive, Rafi?
I think they're going to be, if the entire Waymo thing goes as planned, I think Waymo will buy them because from what they've ordered now, I think they have a good chance of being bought and continuing.
So you think Waymo will keep the Jaguar brand? Or do you think they'll buy Tata and Tata will make the cars for Waymo? That makes sense. But do you think Waymo will just buy Tata and have them make totally unique different cars? Or do you think they'll just like sell the Jaguar and Land Rover brands to other people?
Well, if Waymo was going to do that, why don't they just make their own cars now?
It's because making cars is hard.
Buy a manufacturer.
Exactly.
So someone who knows how to manufacture vehicles and have them manufacture it for you.
Gotcha.
So I think that if they kept with Tata, nothing else, they're gonna go out of business, nothing left. But I agree with Rafi. If they're bought by Waymo, which is entirely possible, they're going to keep the design. They're going to keep the car and Land Rover, besides for the back of the Discovery. They have great designers. And there's a certain appeal, a lot of people in Beverly Hills, of course, that love the Land Rover brand.
You spend a lot of time in Beverly Hills?
No, but I spend a lot of time on the internet looking at cars in Beverly Hills.
We have Toyota. Rafi?
I hope Toyota survives. I hope the Prius doesn't.
Why do you hope Toyota survives?
Because I like Toyotas. They're reliable. They're workhorses. And I feel like my first car is probably, sadly, going to be a Toyota. I'd rather it be some like ex-cop car, which would get me out of traffic
because
a lot.
Why? It's reliable? Why?
It's reliable. It's cheap. Mm-hmm. Like the new Corolla hatchback. Mm-hmm. The pricing came out today. I think it was like 20 grand, 19.
He's so pragmatic.
Wow.
So I feel like a lot of people can go, if they don't want to have to go but get a Mitsubishi, they'd rather go get, Mitsubishi, they've lost presence. Toyota still has a big presence in a lot of countries. Mm-hmm.
And like, they know how to make cars.
And I just love them.
So I think that what you were saying, like a lot of these brands that you have been naming are just everyday brands that we all see. Mm-hmm. And why should Toyota succeed and not Honda? What does Toyota have that Honda doesn't, or vice versa?
I'm asking you that question.
The Camry V6 and the GT86.
They are investing also a lot in autonomy.
The end of the automotive industry as we know it. Ford. Rafi, Ford. Are they going to make it? Are they going to get broken up and acquire the sub-brand? Someone else can take the sub-brands?
I don't think they're going to make it because you don't see any technology for the future and the autonomy being done there, which obviously could be going on under...
That's fair. It's a fair statement. Avi, is there any reason for Ford to exist as we know it? Or will they be broken up or go away?
Well, the reason that I hope they survive is because they have the Raptor. But besides, let's say there was no Raptor, I still like the brand Ford.
Mustang,
because the Mustang, the Explorers
America.
That look like cop cars get you out of traffic all the time. All the GTs, the GT500, 350R. Those cars, that's Mustang. But I feel like the same thing that I think will happen to GM will happen to Ford. They're going to go into one brand, Lincoln and Ford. Mm-hmm. They're going to merge. It'd be the same brand. You'll get it from the same dealership. Mm-hmm. and it won't. But when you buy your Lincoln, it'll be a nicer experience, just like your Cadillac. If you're the premium that you pay for your car, the service that you get. So if you bought a $20,000 car, yes, it'll be nice to get it, but they won't put a cloth over it or a bow or they won't make anything special. But if you were to buy like an $100,000 Navigator, I think it would be. They'll make it a nicer ceremony.
It's interesting to hear your dueling visions about like ritualized experience at dealerships. Yes, and then you don't think so, Rafi.
No, I agree.
All right, we're coming to the final one, Daimler.
I really hope it survives. I love most of their vehicles, and I think what they've had a semi-autonomous system in their cars for some time now, and if they're progressing at that rate, I think that they will survive as just that brand. Maybe like a mobility service that will help them continue into the future.
Avi?
I hope they survive, but just like Ford and GM, I think all of the brands, Smart, Maybach, and Mercedes, they're going to be one, and the ritual when you get it will be different. But I feel like there's a certain appeal to a lot of people to when you go to buy a Mercedes. It's you like a lot of people like Mercedes because not only because of the luxury, but you get if you were to buy a BMW or a Mercedes. I know you have your bias towards BMW.
I guess what you're really asking me is whether I see more status in an S class versus a 7 series.
Yeah.
Well, obviously the S class.
Yeah, and so I don't think I think the A class is not going to survive, but the technology from the A class, the new A class at least, I dearly hope goes into every Daimler, every car there is.
You're
on the planet.
Referring to MBUX,
the new infotainment system.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
what you're talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah, look,
the augmented yeah, actually, app technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the A class, the B class, in some places, the C class, the E class will because of the A63. But I think there'll only be left to four main models: the sports brand, which is the GTs, the G Wagon, because people in Beverly Hills love them.
Whole Foods and parking lot,
Beverly Hills again.
It's funny, you watch a lot of television, yes. A lot of movies.
Yes, and also
we have to wrap this up. Your brother's got something to say. Go on, Rafi.
No,
nothing to add here.
But we're forgetting one, not major. Manufacturer, but I think we should ask for a prediction about.
Oh my gosh!
About
really?
What whether you think Tesla will survive.
Tesla survive?
I think it's going to depend not solely, but a lot based on can they produce vehicles, can they get a new CEO, management. I think that's what they need to be doing.
So revamp management.
New
Elon,
CEO.
Elon Musk is...
Avi.
I'm sorry, he knocked that out of the park. Yeah, that
Avi.
Was really impressive.
Can Tesla survive?
Yeah, we're all surprised Ed's excited.
And if so, what will it take?
If their cars stop blowing up, yes. If not, no. But realistically, I think they're going to get bought, and I hope by another good manufacturer that I like. Because Tesla, they already have the infrastructure, however many thousands of superchargers, the building method, everything. They have it there. They're just... They don't have a good management. It's like Fisker, sort of.
Well, let's not talk about Fisker. Can Tesla survive with Elon Musk in charge? Yes or no?
No.
Yes or no?
Done. Okay.
I don't even know what to say to that.
You guys, this was incredibly impressive. Yeah. I can't wait, actually, for people to listen to this because I think they're going to really enjoy it. This is... For me, one of the funnest episodes we've done. You guys are brilliant, and you guys have an amazing future ahead of you.
Thank you.
I'm almost like scared for the auto industry because you guys are gonna hit it hard. I mean, wait. So let's wrap up with one last question. Do you guys want to work in the auto industry, or do you just want to watch this stuff unfold?
Yes or no?
I would.
Rafi would. Avi?
Yes, ideally as a Formula One driver.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
And on that and on that bombshell, this has been another episode, a very special episode of the Atonicast. Rafi, Avi, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, you guys come to New York, you call the kid, I'll take you out in the Morgan three-wheeler. You know what's up.
All right.